Mark chapter 2. Again, next for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different miracles. And truly, we can't count the miracles, can we? There are so many. And so many things that we just take completely for granted that the Lord is providing for us. I really want to encourage you to keep pursuing in prayer those things that you mentioned today, that you would see God act and work. And really, let's pray for each other to those things. Mark chapter 2. And we're going to start down in verse 1, and we're just going to go through verse 5 here as we get started, and then we'll kind of jump into the text. Verse 1, the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." Don't let that phrase escape you. He preached the word unto them. Verse 3, "And they came unto him, bringing one of sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." All right, I'm going to try to catch you up just briefly, but last week we did miracles of what? Does anybody remember? Or even the main miracle we talked about? The 5,000, right? It's been a week, I get it. We talked about provision, right? We talked about the olive oil that kept flowing. We talked about the manna that came from the Lord. Then we spent most of our time on the feeding of the 5,000. And so again, I'm challenging and encouraging you about miracles. So this week, I wouldn't call it a miracle, but I would call it a pretty powerful reminder that God is in control and that he's at work. So many of you, thank you so much, by the way, our friend Sindhu, who is, he lives in India, but he is just leading, him and many are leading hundreds of people to the Lord. It's incredible. Planting many, many churches, helping ladies learn how to have a living by sewing and things like that. Just doing incredible work. Well, Sindhu, he was invited to go to the Lausanne conference. So Sindhu lives in near Calcutta, India, and he was invited to go to South Korea. He got a grant for all his hotel and all his food, but he needed some flights, and he reached out to Brother Paul Finney and myself, and I invited you guys, and you shared, and so Sindhu was able to go, and he was sending me some pictures of him at the Lausanne conference. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. It's basically, it meets only every so often, and it was set up by Billy Graham to try to have an initiative for worldwide evangelistic efforts. So I thought these were things were good. Well, on Wednesday, I got a text or an instant message, and I didn't read it because it was on Messenger, which I don't trust Facebook anyway. And as I opened my messages, I'm like, this is my friend Nathan Snow. I sang in quartet when I was in college, and him and Linda, they were kind of our parents for that time. They took us around and drove us around. And if you didn't know, Nathan and Linda are actually missionaries to Japan. I'm like, Nathan never sends me anything, let alone a picture. I'm not even going to open that because I know that's somebody trying to hack me, right? That's kind of my job. I'm supposed to be on the lookout for these things anyway. So I came to church Wednesday night, and we go through our lesson, and it's really, really good. And we get to the end. We always do our missionary hotline prayer time. And we get down to Japan, and Nathan has a prayer request. He says, just pray for us while we're at the Lausanne conference. Oh, we're like, I bet you that picture that I have in my box is from Nathan, and it's him and Sindhu. Diane, can you pull it up? Is it up already? That's my friend Nathan. That's our friend Sindhu. They are in a conference of 5,000 people. Nathan's from Japan. Sindhu is from India. They're in Korea, and they're sitting on a bench together. And Nathan asked Sindhu, well, how did you get acquainted into these Free Will Baptists? He goes, well, I met this guy named Travis. Nathan says, Travis Penn? Yeah. Isn't the Lord amazing? I mean, those are little things, right? But still, that those two guys would find each other in the midst of 5,000 people. They don't have lived anywhere close to each other, but their passion and their interest is that God's name would spread through all the earth. And that's my passion too. And that picture makes me really happy. So I'm going to keep my eyes open for miracles this week. I hope that you will too. All right. Today, what I want to focus on, and we're just going to focus on one miracle today because your preacher gets so long-winded as it is. We're going to focus on a miracle that reminds us of the Lord's authority. And sometimes Jesus will do miracles and God will do miracles to demonstrate his authority. And so I want to look at a miracle of authority today and hopefully it will encourage us. So again, Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, we're going to look at the first idea, and I want you to see this picture of helplessness as it relates to Jesus establishing his authority. Verse 1, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. And some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Just a few things to catch you up here in this paragraph. Capernaum would be like a second home for Jesus. And if you study the scriptures, you're going to see he does a lot of miracles there. Right? We know he's from Nazareth. We know he's born in Bethlehem. But Capernaum is where he spends a lot of his time. Now, when Jesus began to heal people, and we'll see that just recently, if you read in Mark, he cast out demons out of a person. We also know that he just healed a leper, and that leper began to tell everybody what Jesus did. Then the crowds began to set in. I mean, even today, don't you think that would be the case? If there was somebody that had fame and literally with so many verifying the claims today, if somebody could verify the claims that this person who says he's from the Lord is healing people left and right when they come to him, wherever he was, that place would be busy even now, right? And that's what's going on with Jesus. As he travels, people are beginning to throng him because they want to see, some because they want the healing, but some because they want to see the show. You know, there's a lot of skeptics, even like today, they want, is this really real? Is what he's doing really real? And so a huge crowd would begin to be wherever Jesus was. The King James word I like there was the press, right? The press was all around him. And then I want you to take note of this, because I think we forget this. What was Jesus doing? Besides healing, besides casting out demons, what does Mark say he was really trying to accomplish? He was what? He was preaching. Very good. He was preaching. Can I challenge you today? And some of you are going to be like, well, that's your job, buddy. Everybody in this room that is a believer should be a preacher. You should be carrying the word of God, the gospel. This morning, what did Brother Rick end with the lesson? Like basically, how are you going to share it? All these wonderful things that we've seen Jesus has done for us. You are a preacher. And I think sometimes in all the things we see Jesus do, we forget that Jesus was preaching. Jesus was preaching and trying to reach the people with the word that were around him. Now, what happens is, in my mind, one of the most incredible things, and that is that while Jesus is there, there's four guys and they have a buddy, and this buddy is paralyzed. And we're going to talk about the four guys here in just a little bit, but I want to focus on the paralytic for a minute here. Imagine with me just a little bit about this person. We don't know his whole story, right? But what we know about him is that he cannot move himself. How many of you like to be in control? Yes. Some of us may have even been accused of being control freaks in our time, haven't we, right? I like things a certain way, and this is how they're going to be. How many of you love the helpless feeling of having other people do things for you? That is just frustrating, isn't it, right? Because you don't want to be a burden. You want to ask anybody, but you're always like, but I can't do this. I have to get this done. Your preacher is that way when it comes to car trouble. I was so thankful for Michael and the boys yesterday. We had a great time changing tires. Then I was watching videos on my Tundra, and I'm like, boy, that's really mine. It has the big old shaft that goes in. You have to, it's like a big old deal. I'm like, I'm thankful for people that can do the things that I don't do easily. But here, this person is helpless. They can't move unless somebody moves them. I want you to think about that a little bit for today, about people around you that are full of guilt. They're full of shame. Some of them are so depressed that they can't move. And they need some friends to come and to pick him up. This paralytic has some people that loved him enough that they decided they were going to do something for him. Who in your life do you love enough that you might be willing to step in and do something for? Again, I don't know his story, the paralytic story. He may have been ashamed. And if you know anything about the time of Jesus, we don't think of things this way, but the way that they often thought of things was that if you had some sort of sickness or disability, that was tied to either your sin or the sin of your parents. So not only did people look at you and look like, oh, you have problems, you're not the same as everyone else, but they also might look down on you thinking that, well, the reason you're in this situation has to be because of something that you did wrong or your family did wrong. Okay, so all of these things could be layered on to this poor person that cannot do anything about their problem. So first thing I want you to think about this morning with me is that I believe there are tens, if not hundreds, of people around each of us every week who need help and are helpless. I'm not talking about just financially or materially, but I'm talking about in their spirit. If you will remember, we too were helpless and couldn't help ourselves out of our sin problem. These people we're talking about this morning are riddled with guilt and with shame, just like we were. They don't know where to go or what to do. Can I do a quick aside this morning? It really hit me when Ray was talking this morning. It appears that we have a very large generation, a young generation of people, that they've experienced lots of guilt and lots of shame. But in order to remedy the guilt and the shame, do you know what they've done? They've tried to eradicate the idea of sin. We'll just say that there isn't a such thing as sin. And if we keep saying that to ourselves long enough, we'll be able to get rid of the guilt and get rid of the shame. Is that working? No. Is that why suicide rates are up and addiction rates are up? And no. Stress levels, anxiety levels are through the roof, insane, because you trying to deny that there is sin doesn't get rid of your guilt and shame. But you know what does? There is wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. His blood washes away the sin, so there truly is no sin. There is no guilt. There is no shame. And in its place is forgiveness. Praise the Lord. And that's what we've got to share with these young people that we love so much, that you denying your sin problem isn't going to get rid of your guilt. It's not going to get rid of your shame. It's not going to take away your anxiety or your depression. But if you will deal with the sin through the blood of Jesus, you can find removal of those things. Anyway, people around us are really hurting, but there is definitely hope for them if we would serve them like these four friends in the story, if we would bring them to Jesus. So let's look at the next thing here, the idea of being persistent in verse 4. Persistent. Since they could not get to him, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." These four buddies of this guy, I think, are amazing. Could they heal him? No, but they knew where to go, didn't they? Hello? Do you know where to go? So many of you sitting in this room today have experienced the forgiveness of Jesus, haven't you, right? You know where to go. Just like these four friends, you can't heal, you can't save, you can't change, you can't get rid of the depression, the guilt, the anxiety, and the fear, but you know, you definitely know where to go. And these four friends knew where to go. They look past his sickness, because some of people would have been turned off by their friends hurting, but they were willing to get involved in the situation. And I would remind you again, helping others is often a messy and dirty proposition. Can you get an amen there? It can be tricky, right? Helping others gets sometimes a little bit, it's just a lot easier if I just avoid the whole thing, right? I'll just keep going in my lane, keep doing what I'm doing. Aren't you so glad these four guys didn't do that? Aren't you so glad that somebody got out of their lane to tell you about Jesus? Right? Praise the Lord. Sometimes the normal way of things isn't going to work. They knew where to go, but when they were making their way there, what was the problem? How are we going to get our friend? We know Jesus is the answer. We know we need to get him to him, but there's so many people around that house. people in the door. We can't get to the door. They had to be creative. Can I say to you today that some of you are going to have to be creative in the way that you connect with some people so that they can come to know the Lord that you love? Everybody in this room did not come to Christ the same way, did we? Right? So remember that. And don't feel like you have to do some special specific plan. You need to follow the Holy Spirit's lead as you try to tell people about this story. These four guys could have made a ton of excuses, but the love of their friend kept them pursuing a solution. Can I encourage you today? Please don't quit. Right? Some of you guys here today, man, you inspire me, right? Scott, Melissa, your love for your kids and your grandkids, don't quit. All right? You inspire me that you keep loving them and pursuing them, and that's the way we've all got to be, right? Sometimes we get tired, don't we? And we don't see them doing the things we wanted to see them do. But the Lord has not given up on them, has he? We should not either. So these friends, they keep on going. Then how do they decide to go through? I love this. They go up on the roof. Now, the roofs aren't quite like these roofs here, like that we think about, right? Usually they were made out of like thatch and dirt, things like that. But literally, if you read the commentators, the idea is that they broke through the roof. They tore through the roof. It wasn't like, oh, let's gently remove this piece of sod. Could you imagine the homeowner? Talk about being grumpy, right? What are you guys doing? What do you think you're coming down through? I got to pay for that. I got to fix that. When you look to bring people to the Lord, sometimes even that part is a little messy, right? And people around may get disturbed. We saw that with the guys in the jail so much. When they would come to Christ, it would disturb their friends. Some of you, when you came to this Christ, it disturbed your friends that you were following him. It is definitely unconventional, but it is powerful when you see the love of these four for their friend. And then I have another thought for you this morning. Do you think they expected their friend that they were going to have to take him back up out of the roof or he would go out the door? Let me word it this way to you this morning. How's your faith today? Who do you expect to see walking out the door or up out of the baptistry? A year ago, there's three people in this room that we maybe didn't expect to see up out of the baptistry, and they came up out of the baptistry this year. Amen. A couple years ago, we'll talk more about him hopefully in a future sermon, but there's a guy by the name of Big Mike that, man, we really did not expect him to see coming up out of the baptistry. And a young man, I call him young back there, Brother Michael Seitz, lifted up his father up out of that water to serve Jesus. Miracles, right? Increase your faith this morning. Be expecting for God to move. We need to ask and seek and knock. And then what really strikes me is that the scripture says, Mark writes, that when Jesus saw his faith, the faith of the paralyzed one, when Jesus saw their faith, he acted. Uh-oh. Guess where that burden falls? Right? Yeah, we love someone so much, we want to see them come to the Lord, and they have to come on their faith in him. But the Lord moves sometimes based on our faith. Did we really trust? Did we believe enough to tear up the roof, to lower our friend down, to get them to Jesus? And when we act in faith, God honors that activity. And sometimes that's when the miracles happen. Jesus saw their faith. Does Jesus see our faith today? Does he see us moving in action to serve and to bring people that are in need to him? Then I would share with you, you may not believe this, but then I would share this with you. Jesus does the most incredible thing for this man. He doesn't allow him to walk again. He doesn't heal his physical disease. What does he do? He gets rid of his guilt and shame. You're like, well, that's good, but couldn't he just do that? I'm ready for the big stuff. I'm trying to tell you this morning, this is the big stuff. I don't think you guys believe me. I can tell by your expressions today. You don't get it. Well, if the cancer goes away, that's the big stuff. Well, that's good, but that's not the big stuff. If the diabetes goes away, that's the big stuff, right? Well, that's good, but that's not the big stuff. If the marriage gets reconciled, that's the big stuff, right? No, that's good, But that's not the big stuff. What is the most important thing? That we who were enmities, enemies of God, that Jesus, God demonstrated his love toward us while we were still what? Sinners. Christ died for us. That was our passage today. That Jesus brings forgiveness and healing to us, not just for now, but forever. But we don't get that. We want to see the physical, understand the tangible. And here Jesus heals this person of their guilt and their shame and their sin. Some people may say it this way. Heaven sounds really great, but what I really need right now is a job. Salvation sounds nice, but I just need a way out of this addiction. Hope is inspiring, but can you help me pay my bills? And I would challenge you this morning. Sometimes in our desire to help people, we see the obvious needs, but we forget the ultimate need. People need forgiveness. They need to be reconciled to God through Jesus. That's it. Don't forget it. I forget it so much. Oh, let me help their physical need or financial need or emotional need or relationship need. Don't forget the most important need is if they find redemption in Christ, they found it all. They found the treasure, all right? Again, this morning, I know you know this, but Jesus is the only way to God, and people must find him to find life. Real quickly, are you willing to think outside of the box to bring your friends to Christ? Anybody going to break some holes through some roofs this week, right? We could put one up here if somebody thinks it's a little easier to get in this way. By the way, this week, some people had to get some helicopter rides out of places to get out, didn't they? Because conventional ways didn't work, did it, right? Do you believe? Do you believe when we must be persistent in bringing people to Jesus? We cannot give up. Who have you given up on that maybe you need to start praying for again this week? All right, let's look down, if you would, in verse 6. I want you to see that skepticism come, skeptical. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there, and they were thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Can I remind you this morning, it doesn't matter where you are. When people serve in faith, the skeptics will always show up. Right? They will. They're coming. And they're coming for Jesus. And I'll be honest with you this morning. I bet they were more concerned about the roof. You understand what I'm saying? Be careful here. Again, we've had this conversation many times. And your preacher is the wrong person because I'm not the most cleaning type person. But we should take care of the things the Lord gives us. But we can't be more concerned about the roof than we are about the souls. Okay? They were concerned about their friend. And I bet you the skeptics were like, oh boy, we got to fix all this mess. What really got their attention, though, was that Jesus made a claim. He said that he could forgive sins. And so the teachers of the law knew that only God could forgive sins. So to their credit, they should have been skeptical about someone making that claim. But of course, they did not know Jesus yet. Their assessment that only God could forgive was true, but they just didn't realize who they were working with. And can I say to us sometimes, we forget who we are working with. Amen? Miracles. Quit doubting, Travis. Trust me, I can do this. This is not a problem for me. Some skeptical excuses for not serving others or sharing the gospel with others. Well, why are you helping them? It won't do any good. You ever heard that? They're just going to repeat the same problem. How much is this going to cost? Does our insurance cover this? Right? We're going to drive a bunch of young people to go do something. Well, there's a lot of risk there, right? What if I get hurt trying to help them? Wouldn't I just be better taking care of myself? That's what the skeptic within us does. And I want to encourage you today, it is right to count the cost whenever we take a step of faith. But faith in the will of our Lord should always be our determining factors. And of course, Jesus will prove the skeptics wrong. And I tell you this morning, he always, always does. Jesus never fails. And he set up for the biggest failure of all that could have been. And of course, it wasn't because he is the Lord. Let's look at the next verse, verse 8. Let's see life-changing. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit, this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk? but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Verse 12, he got up, took up his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Well, the blasphemer, Jesus, the blasphemer, he just says, well, what's it easier to do? Say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk. It's easier for Jesus to say, get up and walk, because we know what the cost would be for him to say your sins are forgiven. Amen. But the evidence of the man walking out the room was not just that he was healed on the outside, but it was evidence that he was healed on the inside. Praise the Lord. And here's what I'm trying to hit you up with this morning. He's still doing it. The miracles are still happening now. We live in such a skeptical world. Everything's got to go under a microscope, and everything has to be verified. And I want to tell you that the Lord is still changing and working and delivering and healing and displaying his authority throughout the earth. But we have to have eyes to see. We have to have eyes open. Again, he meets a man's physical need, and it is as a demonstration of power to help with the spiritual need. And I love how the scripture words it. He tells him to get up, take up your mat, and that's exactly what he did. He got up, he took up his mat. What do you think was going on in that guy's mind? I don't know if he was fully paralyzed or partially paralyzed, but he couldn't get around. How do you take that first step? I mean, some of us, we have a hard time just getting out of bed in the morning, right? This person hasn't walked possibly in years. And Jesus says, pick up the mat that you're laid on and go home. All these people around. And he, in faith, this is where the paralytic's man faith was. Okay, I'm going to trust him. And for the first time, and we don't know how long, he takes steps. Now, just a quick aside before I don't scream too loud here. How do you think the four friends felt? I don't know how I felt. I told you! I said, if we would get him to Jesus, this would happen. We can just tear off the roof if we have to. Whatever we do, if we'll get him to the Lord, he'll take care of it. I told you he'd do it. Woo! Right? I'm too old to yell. Isn't that so good? Oh, I told you. I told you. Excuse me. If we will continue to be persistent, bringing the helpless to Jesus, despite the skeptics, we will see lives changed for the glory of God. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop loving. You guys, those little bitty bags that we hand out to homeless people, we don't know what God's doing with those, but we know that they know that they're loved. Amen. Don't stop serving. Don't stop hugging. Don't stop. Be persistent in bringing the helpless to Jesus. Who are you working and serving that you may bring them to Christ? Have you given up on someone? Are you willing to go through the roof for them? Man, I love through the roof stories, don't you? You guys look around. We've had them here. Well, what I would tell you is I think the Lord is by no means is he done. I think he wants to bring some more people through the roof. Amen. I want to close with this morning. Just a reminder that God is still at work today, not just in Bible times. God is still demonstrating his power. And I would ask you, and I hope that you understood me right this morning when I asked you to pray for miracles, that your miracle prayer would be for the glory of God and the salvation of others, not for a show and not just for your pleasure, but for God to be honored. This is from Brenda McNeil. She says, I once met a brother from Ghana, West Africa, who was completing his PhD in the School of World Missions at Fuller Theological Seminary. I don't know if you guys know this, but Corrine went to Fuller. During one of his trips home, he attempted to share the gospel with several people who lived in this community. Although they listened respectfully, no one turned to Jesus. He later learned that they were intimidated by a witch doctor who lived nearby. The witch doctor kept a symbol of his authority hanging outside his home. It was a lattice basket filled with water that never leaked. My friend decided to pray that God would empty the basket. He stayed outside the home of the witch doctor and he prayed all night that God would demonstrate his power. At some point, he fell asleep. The next morning, he was awakened by a commotion. The basket was empty. That town saw a mass revival as people learned about the God who caused the water to come out of the basket. There had been a power encounter and God had won. Here's what I want to tell you today. God is still displaying his authority. I'm afraid sometimes we get locked into, and we should stay studied in our scriptures, but we get locked into Bible times and forget that God is still working now. Notice the motivation here again. The missionary was desiring that people would be forgiven, that they would find redemption. His prayer was not for himself, but that God would show his power. And when he prayed that prayer, the stronghold was broken and people came to Christ. And you guys know this with me this morning. There are strongholds all around us. It may not be literally witch doctors with lattice baskets holding water, but there are grips and strongholds on the lives of people all around us today. But a reminder for us this morning is we serve the King, and he is the ultimate authority. Let's pray that God will give us faith to see people around us who are hurting and courage to tell them about the life-changing encounter that we've had because of Christ. Let's keep praying and looking for miracles that God would be glorified and people would be forgiven. Amen. Let's bring some people through the roof. Let's stand this morning. Susan's going to come and play us a little song of invitation today. And while she's playing, again, we've talked about this in different times. We always want you to feel welcome. I hope that you never feel embarrassed to come forward. This altar is a place of prayer. It's a place where you can lay burdens down. It's a place if you have something's a struggle or if you have a friend that you care very much about and you want to pray for them. We would invite you to come down and lay those things here on the altar and give those things to the Lord. We're going to take a moment here of quiet and just we'll have a little music playing. But while we have that moment of quiet, I want you to focus this morning on who is around you that needs to be carried through the roof. Who are those friends that you love dearly that you need to persistently pursue in prayer and kindness that they would know and hear the gospel? And I would have you pray for yourself today that you would be filled with the Spirit, that you could be exactly what you need to be in the moment that those people would come to know the Lord. Desperately, we need these reminders and we need to walk in faith. So let's take a moment of quiet here and be praying for each other, especially pray for those people that you know.